We're learning, just to review, because some of you weren't here last week. What we're doing is we're learning this book, 26 Reasons Why Jews Don't Believe in Jesus, by the lawyer, Orthodox Jewish man named Asher Norman. I guess, from what I've heard from Tybee, that you can't get this book anymore. It's out of print. All right, so it's out of print, apparently, but that they'll probably reprint it. Presently. Anyway, you don't need to get the book. We're learning the book together, and I'm putting pertinent quotations on the sheet. The question you might wonder is, why would we learn such a book, 26 Reasons Why Jews Don't Believe in Jesus? This is an anti-missionary book. It's anti-Christian. It's anti-gospel. It's against the New Testament. It's a book written by an Orthodox Jewish person, defending Judaism from the claims of Christianity and from the claims of the gospel and even from Messianic Judaism. So you might wonder, why are we learning such a book? And the reason is that it's going to force us to ask a lot of questions that we might not have asked before. It's going to prepare us to give an answer for what we believe and why we believe it. And it's also going to give us a perspective on the larger Jewish world to understand some of the complexities of these issues. So, 26 reasons. Last week, we made it through reason number one. And so, this week, we're going to be going on to reason number two. I do expect that as we progress, will pick up speed because the reasons will become redundant. The discussions will become redundant as we move on, and so we'll be able to move faster, and we'll probably be covering 3 to 4 reasons a night sometime. I don't know. But for now, we're moving at about a pace of 1 reason per night. Okay, so reason number 2 of 26 reasons why Jews don't believe in Jesus is this. Reason number 2 is the Jewish salvation program is to love God, fear God, and keep His commandments. All right. Now, he defines what he means by salvation program right away. He says, salvation program means the criteria by which God determines an individual's share in the world to come. So, we're talking about the world to come. That is something attainable only through resurrection in Jewish theology, Pharisaic theology. So, we're also thereby talking about meriting to be resurrected from the dead. So, not only merited to be resurrected from the dead, but then to enjoy the world to come. So, that's the salvation program. How do you achieve salvation? That's what he means by salvation program. And he says, the Jewish salvation program is to love God, fear God, and keep His commandments. Whereas the Christian salvation program is to believe in Jesus, to have faith in Jesus, and that's how you merit the world to come, through grace by faith. Or is it through faith by grace? I always get that mixed up. But the two work together really closely. So I want to take a look at this because I think there's some problems here already. He says there is no concept in Judaism that faith in the Messiah ben David, that is the coming Messiah, the reigning, ruling, coming Messiah, Messiah ben David, the son of David, there's no concept in Judaism that faith in Messiah ben David leads to personal salvation. Missionaries should be asked to explain the total absence of this fundamental Christian concept in Torah. Okay, I think that's a fair thing to ask for an explanation of. But we actually hit this last week already when he brought up the objection that there's no verse in the Hebrew Bible that says that you must believe in the Messiah in order to achieve salvation, right? And so we looked at a couple different things. We looked at the concept of, okay, you could also make the same statement regarding Moses. That There is no verse in the Bible that says you must believe in Moses in order to achieve salvation. Right? You won't find it. You could turn up and down and back and forth, and you'll never find a verse that says, believe in Moses for salvation. But if you don't believe in Moses, what have you got? You don't have the Torah. You don't have God's instruction. You don't have the covenants. You don't have access. You don't have the priesthood. You've got nothing if you don't believe in Moses. And Messiah, the Torah says, is the prophet like unto Moses, it says in Deuteronomy 18. And it says, regarding the prophet like unto Moses, you shall heed him. You shall listen to him. So that was one of the things we briefly discussed last week. We also discussed the idea of, I think we touched on the intermediary role of a priesthood that we find in Torah and so forth. But it's a fair objection. Nonetheless, it's a fair objection. Oh, we also talked about the concept of salvation, the Davidic Messiah that's coming. All through the prophets, we see this hope, that the hope of Israel is this coming Davidic Messiah. And not that that's a criteria for salvation, but it is certainly it's certainly the entire focus of God's redemptive plan. And salvation is redemption. So if you don't believe in the Messiah, you know, you don't have hope in the Messiah, you don't have faith in the Messiah, that's the same as saying you don't have faith and hope in the redemption itself, the very salvation that you're trying to merit. So, in a sense, some things do go without saying. The Messiah gets here. Say it's not Yeshua. Say the Messiah gets here. And it's someone no one ever expected. But it's the Messiah, and it's absolutely, absolutely the Messiah. And you're like, I'm not interested. I'm not with him. Things will not go well for you. You know? So when Messiah is revealed, it should go without saying, Messiah is revealed, you need to cast your allegiance with the king. Right? Okay. Anyway, it's a good objection. And a fair objection. But let's move on. I want to deal with this question of the Jewish salvation program, because I disagree. I mean, far be it from me to, tell Judaism or tell an Orthodox Jew what Judaism believes. But in my study of Judaism, this is not exactly an accurate statement to make, that the salvation program of Judaism is to love God, fear God, and keep His commandments. So we have a few proof texts. First of all, he says he's going to bring us to this text in Deuteronomy 30. So let's grab that. It starts in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, 15, all right? And you recognize this passage. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and statutes and judgments, that you may live and multiply, so that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, holding fast to Him. And this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. All right. So we're offering this, or Asher Norman is offering this passage of, I set before you today life and death. Choose life. Keep the Torah. Don't choose death by breaking the Torah, the commandments of the Torah. He's saying, look, this is not just life in this world and death in this world, as it reads literally in the text. Because that's what we're seeing here. This is not a it's not literally on the surface of the text. What's it talking about? It's talking about life in the land, prosperity in the land. He's approaching it from the rabbinic perspective, where it's like, we're not just talking about life here, we're talking about life in the world to come. And therefore, we're also not just talking about death here, but we're talking about death in the world to come. So that's one proof text. Have you ever heard that before, that sort of life, death, being used metaphorically almost to speak of life in the world to come, death in the world to come, taking something from the prophets? We'll look at a passage tonight. So, the argument is, you don't need to believe in Jesus to achieve life in the world to come. You need to keep the Torah. All right. And that's life. And then he says, another passage we find is in Deuteronomy 10:12 that says the same thing. So we're going to look at that. Now, Israel, what does the Lord require from you? And this is pretty significant. What does the Lord require from you? Does it say to believe in the Messiah? He says, no. Here's what the Lord requires from you: to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Okay, so another proof text that what God wants and what you get rewarded for with life is keeping the Torah and fearing God. So, here's a quotation from the book. He says, the Torah states that life, quote-unquote life, that is, one's share in the world to come, requires Jews to love God, fear God, and keep His commandments. All right? Okay. What do you do with that? How do you answer that?
It's like the master's words we looked at last week.
Okay, well,
what do I do, must to do to inherit eternal life? He said, we know the commandments.
Well, let's take a look at that, because that's actually what I had. I thought we should actually go look at the passage this week. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I think, if I gave you the right passage. Yes. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. You'll have reward, treasure in heaven. Okay, so this is not the answer that we wanted when we're trying to form a defense against Asher Norman, is it? It's a little problematic, I think. Don't you think? Haven't you ever read that before and just kind of like something said in you, that's not right? It's a little puzzling. I mean, okay, so there's... Here's how I would normally explain the passage. I would say, okay, he tells him keep the commandments, but nobody can keep the commandments perfectly. The man thinks he's kept the commandments perfectly, so he points out an area in which he has not kept the commandments perfectly, and that is that he didn't give all his money to the poor. But that's not even a mitzvah, to give all your money to the poor. Instead, the master says, if you want treasure in heaven. So it's he's moved it beyond from the question of how do you get eternal life to how do you get like bongo reward in the world to come. So he's moved. You see what I mean? Okay, so this is a little problematic for us. Uh-oh, we're only on reason number two and we're already going down. Okay, well, I just wanted to show you, right here, Mark 10:17, this passage in Mark 10 shows us what is essentially the same thing that Asher Norman said. Right? Okay, I'll show you another. Revelation 22.